Just over 2 weeks now to the general election. We're putting all the parties under the Nolan Show microscope. It'll be the DUP, Ulster Unionists, Sinn Féin, coming up within the next few days. SDLP are with us today. Alban McGuinness is with me in the studio. Morning to you, Alban.
Good morning. Good morning, Stephen.
What's the point of the SDLP? What does it offer? Your critics say you're all tired and old, basically clapped out.
Well, they would say that, wouldn't they? And I think that their politics is clapped out and tired and old. And we're offering something different in terms of this election. We're offering a prosperity process. What we've had to date is a peace process, which has worked up to a point. But there have been imperfections and inadequacies in relation to that. We have to move our politics from the peace process to a prosperity process so that we have a different ball game in terms of our politics.
Why don't you just all close down and go and join Sinn Féin? There's no policy difference between you two, is there?
Well, there's a huge policy difference in relation to the SDLP and Sinn Féin. We're a party of human rights. We're a party of labour. We're a party of Europe. We're a party for partnership.
It's very broad.
Well, they're not broad.
Those spell are, out your the, policy differences. Give us your big headline policy difference.
Those are the basic principles upon which the SDLP has been formed. And if you compare, I don't want to be comparing and contrasting Sinn Féin because
but I do.
Well, you might indeed.
What are the dividing lines? Is what I'm trying to establish from someone thinking to themselves. I want to look at the policy, the big policies that the SDLP support that Sinn Féin don't. So I can decide which of those two parties to go for. So give us a big policy difference between you and Sinn Féin.
Well, for example, in this election, Sinn Féin will not take up their seats at Westminster. We believe that Westminster has a pivotal role in relation to Northern Ireland. We believe that you should be there at the heart of Parliament. Okay. Sinn Féin have painted themselves into a corner. They're irrelevant in relation to this election because they don't count, because they will not be there. We will count because we will be there.
So let's imagine they dropped abstentionism. What is the other big policy difference?
Well, the policy difference that we're putting forward or the principles that we're putting forward are the principles of human rights.
No,
we've always respected human rights.
Not policy.
Right. In terms of our policy in this election, we're putting forward a prosperity process which will be which will succeed and will supersede the peace process.
It's gobbledygook, isn't it?
It's not gobbledygook.
Prosperity process.
Yes.
What is that?
Well, what we're trying to do is move our politics on from the sectarian squabbles that we've got at the moment. We want to move the politics of sectarianism over.
Yeah, but policy.
That is policy. That is a strategy to transform our economy and to transform at the same time our politics. Is that not a good thing? Is that not something that sets us out from all the other political parties, including Sinn Féin? And I don't think that we should confine the SDLP to a comparison with Sinn Féin.
I'm not going to confine it. We're here for half an hour.
I'm just wanting
you to spell out big policy differences between you and Sinn Féin. So you've told me that they don't take their seats. You do. Fair enough.
Yes.
Can you not give me any big policies that make you differ?
But this is huge.
So give me at least one.
But I'm telling you that our approach in this election is to change the dynamics in relation to our economy, in relation to our politics.
Yes, so take the economy if you want. What's the difference between Sinn Féin's approach to the economy and your policy approach to the economy?
Because
you're anti-austerity too.
Yes, we're anti-austerity.
As are they.
And so say the DUP as well.
So what is the difference between Sinn Féin's anti-austerity policy and yours?
Well, Sinn Féin, of course, have accepted austerity in terms of delivering cuts in relation to the budget, which they and the DUP... They have, indeed.
Sinn Féin have accepted it.
They've accepted it. And you take education, for example, where they've introduced cuts in relation to jobs, both classroom assistants and teachers, etc. That That is an acceptance of austerity. That is an acceptance of the budget which they agreed with the DUP. What did Martin McGuinness say? It's as good as it can get. We'll plough on with this. And whenever we objected to it, they dismissed our objections.
Actually, Martin McGuinness walked out of the... the DUP would argue Martin McGuinness walked out of an agreement because he didn't think it was good enough for the people of Northern Ireland and welfare.
He didn't walk out of the budget agreement that was reached between the DUP and Sinn Féin.
We have to live within the budget set by Westminster, don't you? Why are we talking about Sinn Féin and Martin McGuinness anyway, rather than talking about you and your party? You still have not given me any policy, not one. The difference between you and SLP, so people should just vote for either the two of you then. You can't differentiate.
Well, I'm sorry, I'll repeat again. We are committed to a new process. We're committed to developing our economy.
That's so broad, we've no idea what it means.
I think the listeners will know what I
mean. What politician is not going to say, we're committed to the economy? We want prosperity. Every politician walking in this door will say that, which is why I'm asking about for specific policy.
Right. Well, let's look at the specifics in terms of the economy here. First of all, the economy is imbalanced in terms of the public sector and the private sector. The second thing, it's imbalanced in relation to regional development. The west of Northern Ireland gets a bad deal. We want to see equality in terms of investment in the west of Northern Ireland, in Derry, in the regions.
Can I come to that later? Because you talked about prosperity process there, and I want to understand what that means, it actually means, because it's a lovely wee term, isn't it?
It's a lovely wee term.
What's it mean? How are you funding it?
Right. Okay. Let's look at it. Let's look. First of all, we want to move away from a simple block grant allocation in relation to Northern Ireland. We want to move away from dependency. This will take quite some time. But the first point I make to you is this, Stephen, that we have got to go to the British government. We've got to negotiate with the British government and say to them, look, set up a commission here to look at giving Northern Ireland the powers that it requires in terms of fiscal policy so that we as a region can in fact develop our economy and can become more and more self-sufficient and less dependent on you. Now, is that not an important step to make?
Does that dependency not bring us 10 billion a year of extra money from across the water?
Look, let me say this. Yes, of course we accept the block grant. Yes, we want to maximise
the block
grant.
You want to get rid of it?
We want ultimately to reduce the block grant so that we are self-sufficient.
But where are we getting the extra 10 billion from that we currently get from over there?
Well, that's the first point I've made to you is we have the commission, we look at the additional fiscal powers, that will be able to raise additional revenue here in Northern
fiscal
Ireland.
Fiscal powers, taxes.
Raising taxes or lowering taxes? It depends on what way you use. No.
Well, yes, get the 10 billion back. Come on. Why are you saying to me lowering taxes? If you want to get rid of the block grant, Alban, right?
Well,
then you're getting
rid
of the extra 10 billion that we get every year from across the water. Now, therefore, you're going to have to raise taxes here. Which taxes would you raise?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying we want the power. We want the power to be able to raise money, to raise revenue here in Northern Ireland.
Raising revenue.
Yes.
And taxes.
And we need the flexibility to do that.
Which taxes would you put up?
I'm not saying that we're putting taxes up. All I'm saying is that we need the flexibility to do that. We need to move away from a dependency on the block grant. And down the road, we can create a situation where Northern Ireland is less dependent on that block grant.
Okay.
Now, that will take time,
all right,
but we must do that.
I understand that. But if you want the power, and if you're negotiating for the power to do it, then presumably you've got a notion as to how you would use that power.
Yes.
So what taxes would you put up? If you want the tax-raising power, then you must have an idea where you would use it.
No. Let me put it this way. What we need is the capacity. The capacity here in Northern Ireland to start investing ourselves. You don't know that because you haven't heard this. To invest in the areas that we need to invest in. We need to invest in skills. We need to invest in training.
Yes.
We need to invest in our universities.
I get all that.
Let me repeat those things.
But I'm asking about tax.
It's very important.
And where you would put taxes up.
We're talking in terms of using that flexibility to create a situation in which Northern Ireland will in fact be attractive to people to invest
here. That I understand. But that would be hard choices, wouldn't you? Because in order to pay for the 10 billion that you would give away again, because we get 10 billion from across the water, extra.
Stephen, I haven't said we give away 10 billion. I've said that we should become less dependent on the block grant. And this will take quite some time to do.
You talk about full control. I'll read from your manifesto.
Yes,
I noted this last night when I was lying in bed. I actually wrote it down. Only full control of our finances will allow us to have full control of our future. So you're demanding full fiscal powers, which means the 10 billion extra money per year that we get from London would go out the window.
Well, it doesn't mean that at all. But
how does it not?
But, well, it doesn't. We will always have a block grant. But what we're saying...
If we're scrapping the whole Barnett formula and the whole block grant system...
Well, we're not scrapping the whole Barnett formula. We've never said we're scrapping the whole Barnett formula. What we're saying is, within the context of the UK and the distributions that are made by the UK government at Westminster, that we should become less dependent on that and become more and more self-sufficient in terms of our control over our economy and control over the way we do things here in Northern Ireland.
Maybe it's me, so I should probably rewind and ask the question differently. What taxes do you want control over?
Well, ultimately, you would want control over income tax. Ultimately, you would want control over national insurance contributions. All of those things that go up to make a revenue stream in which you would be able to, in fact, organise your government and be able to become truly autonomous here in Northern Ireland.
And too, because taxes, the reason I'm focused on this, and then we will move on, is because the money that people have in their own pocket, Alban, as you well know, it's very important to people, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And so that's why I'm trying to establish just where your party is positioned in terms of taxes. So if you did indeed get your way, so if you did get the ability to alter income tax in this country, would you put it up for the highest earners?
Yes, you would, surely.
To what?
Well, I mean, we would say that we would support the 50% that has been put forward by the British Labour Party.
50%?
Yeah.
At what point?
Well, at the moment, the British Labour Party are talking about 150,000.
Would you hit those people that are on 40% at the moment? Do you think that's a reasonable, or do you think they would need to pay their fair share as well? Would that need to go up to pay for the lower income earners?
Well, you're going into detail that is prospective. I don't think that we can say that at this moment in time.
But you want the powers.
Well, we want the powers. And of course, with the powers come choices. And I accept that those choices will have to be made in the future. But at this moment in time, we're talking about a strategy which will succeed supersede the peace process. And that's the important message that we're putting up forward to people. And I think that people will be attracted to it because people are fed up with the squabbling. They're fed up with the sectarian politics and the trench warfare that goes on at Storm.
No squabbling between you and Sinn Féin?
Well, you know, we do have disagreements and profound disagreements, and it's important that we articulate those. But what we're talking about here is moving away from sectarian politics and moving into politics based on economics.
Okay. You mentioned the Labour Party there. And I want to play you a clip from your leader, Dr. Alistair MacDonald. It was interesting when he was on, it was BBC Radio 4 last month with Mark Mardell, and he actually couldn't give his absolute backing to Ed Miliband. Have a listen to this.
We will take stock, and certainly we will be having discussions with Labour, and while we might have a tilt in that direction, Ed Miliband should not take us for granted.
Would you ever support David Cameron?
Well, I couldn't see any circumstances in which we would support the Conservative government, because they have not treated us well here, and they haven't treated the SDLP well.
So Ed Miliband can take you for granted?
Well, Ed Miliband cannot take us for granted, no. We will have discussions. We may not vote for either. We are quite free to opt out. We're quite free to vote against both.
Who would make the better Prime Minister?
You know, we will see who gets the numbers on election day. You know, you can't speculate. We know what David Cameron is. We don't know what Ed Miliband is.
Now, that's confusing for me, because I thought you were Labour's sister party.
We are, and we're part of the Labour family throughout these islands, indeed throughout Europe, and we are very supportive of the Labour Party.
Does that sound very supportive?
Well, look...
You know, we'll have to wait and see, says Alistair MacDonald.
No, he's not saying that. And he's made it very, very plain that we want to see a Labour government. However, and this is the small print we're getting into, we have to be satisfied that the terms of that government in relation to Northern Ireland are terms which are acceptable to us and which will benefit all of the people here in Northern Ireland. And that's very important. We can't write a blank cheque to Ed Miliband, even though we would like to see him as Prime Minister. We can't write a blank cheque to him or the British Labour Party and say, by the way, fellas, just take us for granted. You can't do that. That's stupid in politics.
Do they take you for granted?
Well, I don't think they do. I don't think they do. And I think we've made it plain to the Labour Party that they're very, very important issues and that we need to be satisfied in relation to these issues.
Ed Miliband, a vote for the SDLP, is it a vote to put Ed Miliband into Downing Street if this comes down to the wire?
Yes, I think it is, yeah. I would say that it is a vote in favour of a Labour government. It is a vote certainly against the Conservative government that has served us very, very badly here over the past 5 years. Why would we want a Conservative government supported by UKIP, who wants to bring us out of Europe, which would undermine and destroy...
The Conservative government is not supported by UKIP.
Well, it will be. How could the Conservative government, how could a Conservative party form a government without UKIP?
Well, you're speculating now on numbers.
Well,
aren't
I mean,
you?
We're all speculating, aren't we, Stephen? We're speculating about the SNP. We're speculating about the Plaid Cymru. You're speculating about the SDLP. You're not speculating about Sinn Féin because they won't be there.
You see, I'm just trying to understand. And I'm genuinely trying to understand. At one moment you say that you're holding out, giving your absolute support for Labour until you get a better deal, so you can get a better deal for Northern Ireland. And then you're saying, yeah, a vote for the SDLP is a vote to put Ed Miliband into Downing Street.
So, well, you're asking me what's our preference. Our preference is a Labour government. There's no doubt about that. And we've consistently said that.
I didn't ask you what's your preference. I asked you, have they already got your absolute support?
No, not absolute support. It's a qualified support, and they know it. And why would we?
Do they know it?
Why would we? They do know it. They certainly do know it. And why should we give our unqualified support to the British Labour Party in a situation where we do not know the terms of their policies in relation to Northern Ireland? Now, on the face of it, they seem to be beneficial towards the people of Northern Ireland, but we have to see that in writing.
What would you hold out for? What would you bargain for? What would be at the top of your shopping list for us here in Northern Ireland?
Well, in general terms, we want to see
fiscal independence.
Well, we want to see a commitment, first of all, towards setting up of a commission to look at fiscal independence, as you've described.
That would be your number one bargaining chip.
Well, let me also emphasise that we want to see the commitment to the Good Friday Agreement continued, and we want to see the outstanding issues in relation to the Good Friday Agreement. Sorry?
So you would walk in, that's not in doubt. You would probably be at the top of your shopping list.
Well, I don't
know. A commitment to the Good Friday Agreement.
Hold on a minute. There has been no inquiry into Pat Finucane. That was something that the Labour Party promised, and they didn't promise. There has been no commitment, as far as we can see, to a Bill of Rights in relation to Northern Ireland. There are other issues.
Okay.
We have to look again at the block grant to maximise the benefits from that.
Let's just walk through this then.
Yeah.
So if this comes down to the wire and the Labour Party need your numbers, need the SDLP support,
mm-hmm.
will you say, if you don't give me an inquiry into Pat Finucane, you're not getting our support, will it be a red line?
Look, we're going to have a shopping list. A shopping list.
What are your red lines?
Well, we're going to have a shopping list, and that shopping list we will present to the British Labour Party if they require our support.
Yeah,
and
what are your red lines? What are the things? Is Pat Finucane so important to you, that you will not support the Labour Party without delivering an inquiry?
I'm talking about issues here that we have explored in the past and we will continue to explore.
That's a politician's answer, ducking my question.
Well,
Is it an inquiry into Pat Finucane?
I'm not talking about red lines here. I'm talking about a...
You're not talking about red lines.
I'm talking about a basket of issues which we will be presenting to the British Labour Party in circumstances where the British Labour Party want our support to form a government.
But you, Alan McGuinness, are talking about a basket of words here this morning, which means that the public can't quite pin what you will insist upon.
Wouldn't it be very...
Because the public don't come and say, oh, we might, or we look, we've just ticked a box there, and that's a wee basket, and we're not sure whether... You get their vote if they tick that box. So do they get any red lines from you? Do they get any cast iron promises?
Wouldn't it be very stupid of the SDLP or me representing the SDLP to negotiate in public through the airways with the British Labour Party? We're not going to do that.
So what are people voting for?
I have outlined the issues. I have outlined the issues in relation to the Good Friday Agreement. I've outlined the issues in relation to Europe. I've outlined the issues in relation to the Block Grant. And we will continue to home in on those issues. And we will be presenting our particular important issues to the British Labour Party.
And we have no idea before the election.
Well, you do have an idea.
What your red lines are and what they're not. We have no notion.
I'm not going to give red lines
in public. Of course
you're not.
Because you want people to give you a vote and they don't have a clue what you stand for.
Well, I think the people are confident in the SDLP. They know that the
SDLP voting for a basket.
They're voting for the issues that I've outlined.
No, they're not. They're voting for a basket.
I think that's an ambiguous term.
They're voting for a basket and they don't know what's in it. They're walking out of the
they
shop.
Do. They certainly do
no,
know
not.
What's in it.
No, they do. No, they know what might
they
be do, in it.
They know what's in it, Stephen.
They know what potential options are in the basket and you won't tell them today. For the Labour Party to get your support, what a stand in that basket. Giving yourself riddle rim. I'll tell you what it is. It's a lucky dip.
I think that the people out there would be very unimpressed if the SDLP were to announce in public and negotiate in public in relation to the British Labour Party. I think that they would see that as bad politics.
Because I hear politicians saying this all the time about, saying things in public and announcing things in public. Can I remind you that it's the public that puts you in your job?
Yes.
The public put a shirt and tie and a suit in your back. So when you talk about announcing things in public, that's about communicating with the people that pay for you.
Yes, but what you want to do is to negotiate in public, and that's entirely different. I've given you the areas of concern that the SDLP will be raising.
Areas
with the
of
British
concern.
Well, I mean, what other way can you describe them?
Because you know rightly that you could walk in with that basket of concern and walk back out again with just nothing, or with one of the 10 things and still support the Labour Party.
No. The point has been made very clearly by...
You've ruined everybody else out.
The point has been made very clearly by Alistair MacDonald that we do not have to support any party at Westminster. In circumstances, we would prefer to support the Labour Party, but if the Labour Party doesn't come up with terms that satisfy us, then the Labour Party will not get our support.
Oh, are you talking to any other parties?
No, Alistair made it very plain in that clip that you've just broadcast that we can opt out. And he's made that plain.
Can you conceive?